Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
All right, it is Taz and the Moose with you. Rolling right along here on this Thursday morning. Opening, big opening weekend of the college football season. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our next guest knows college football backwards and forwards, and that's Ralph Russo from the Associated Press, who joins us now to kick off the opening weekend on the college football scene. Hey, Ralph, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Ralph, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Ralph, it's interesting when you look at it. I mean, you know, overall here, you got a lot of games tonight. I mean, there's going to be an interesting weekend. If you had to pinpoint one game, one matchup, that you're most intrigued by this weekend, which one would it be?
You know, I think it's sort of the default to say Auburn and Oregon. They're the only game matching ranked teams, and so you look at that and kind of see some playoff implications right early on with the Pac-12. It's another one of these possible statement games for the conference that hasn't had a playoff team in a couple of years. Potential NFL prospect in Justin Herbert for Oregon at quarterback, and Auburn going with a guy in Bo Nix who's a true freshman. That's sort of the obvious pick. The one that's really intriguing to me is Florida State Boise State. Now, first of all, will it be played? There's a hurricane heading in that direction.
Right.
So far, it looks like it's in Jacksonville. It's not in Tallahassee, and it looks like, you know, at this point, they're probably going to get that thing in. But after what happened with Florida State last year, 5-7 record, first year under Willie Taggart, I really think the fan base needs like a mental health game here. And I think beating a pretty good Boise State team would sort of set a course for a much more normal season for Florida State, where if you lose that coming off of last season, you know, I think you're at like DEFCON 2, and it's the first week of the season.
Ralph, so if we shift gears, talk about Alabama, you know, as you know, and I'd love to get your input and insight on the whole deal. Alabama linebacker, you know, Dylan Moses, he's now, unfortunately for the young man, I believe on Tuesday he tore his ACL, and he's going to be out for the season. So now Alabama's going to be starting two freshmen inside linebacker. This guy Moses is the real deal. I mean, heavy award winner and big-time NFL prospect. Speak on this if you don't mind a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think for this week against Duke, probably doesn't matter that much. I mean,
right.
The guy, you're right, they're playing a freshman, but it's a four-star kid who's 6 foot, 240. You know, the problem is he up to speed? Does he know all the calls? Can he do the things that Dylan Moses...
Lacking experience like Moses has, right.
Exactly. So, and they've been hit by a couple of other injuries at that position, too, or at linebacker in general. I think against Duke, you know, for the most part, they should be fine.
Right.
The thing that worries you is simply later in the season. Listen, Alabama's going to be a little while before they get really tested at Texas A&M, I think at the end of September, early October. And, of course, they finished the season with a bunch of really big games against the likes of, you know, LSU and Auburn. But, you know, they're just so talented. And really, these are the things that sort of set Alabama and maybe Clemson and a couple of other programs apart from the rest of the country, is that when they do lose a guy like Dylan Moses, as good a player as he is, as great a player as he is, as significant a loss as that is, they have a two or a three who is a four-star, five-star prospect. Again, they don't have the experience, but the talent is there to sort of, you know, mend the wound and help them get along. And who knows, maybe by the time they get to week 5 and 6 and they really need that kid to be developed, he will have come along and it won't be that much of a drop-off. But this is a significant loss at a position where they were already not super deep.
Mm. You know, Ralph, when you focus in on the defending champs, you know, they're a heavy favorite as they take on Georgia Tech. Can their quarterback, who, you know, I saw many analysts last year say the greatest freshman quarterback in college that they've seen in college football in terms of NFL talent evaluators. Can Dabo's, you know, can he live up to expectations here year two as the full-time starter?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he didn't. I mean, Trevor Lawrence I'm not a scout, but this is as gifted a passer at that age and really almost at any age as I've ever seen. He makes two or three or four throws a game that you go, wow, like most guys don't do that. Not to mention he's also got Justin Ross, who's a future first-round draft pick wide receiver, T. Higgins, a possible future first-round draft pick wide receiver. They've got two freshmen who've come in this year who are five stars and have a chance to contribute right away as receivers. So he's also got this array of weapons, Travis Etienne, to hand the ball to. they won't be challenged often this year, especially in the ACC. They've got a couple of games early against Syracuse in a few weeks and against Texas A&M in 2 weeks. And those will provide some tests. I think the biggest thing that will prevent Trevor Lawrence from winning the Heisman is the simple fact that they won't have a lot of big tests late in the season and those big stage games where he can sort of display his clutchness and his talent, whereas some of the other guys will have some of those big games. But listen, I don't expect anything other than another great year from Trevor Lawrence.
You listen to Taz and Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Our special guest right now is Ralph Russo, Associated Press college football writer. Ralph, sticking on the topic of Clemson, a lot of people aren't talking about it, but, you being an expert covering college football, man, like, they lost. Clemson lost a plethora of legitimate defensive linemen. That defense took a hit. So you're not concerned with Clemson defensively going forward as the season's about to start?
I got to tell you, not so much, because okay. A little like Alabama is they always – listen, they will lose. They will absolutely have to – they need kids to step up. They have a kid named Xavier Thomas, who is a sophomore this year, who I think is their next great defensive end. They've got, again, a whole array of other 4- and 5-star kids who will move into those starting roles. I think the biggest thing Clemson may lose from those great defensive linemen, Christian Wilkins and all those guys – who were drafted in the first round last year, is to a certain degree, those were the leaders of the team. Those are the guys who kept the team in order. And I think it probably will be a little bit of a challenge for Dabo to sort of find who are the new guys who are going to be my team leaders. Who are the new guys who are going to set the standard here and the work ethic standard that I'm looking for. So the other thing you have to remember, they've done this before as far as lose all these draft picks on the defensive side. Think about maybe the best defensive coordinator in the country in Brent Venables. He has consistently replaced guys and put forth a really good, solid defense, if not one of the better defenses in the country, despite the fact that the conveyor belt keeps sending these kids to the NFL.
Ralph, Chip Kelly and UCLA went in there, got a huge contract at the disappointing year number one. He's playing a lot of freshmen this year. They start on the road to the Bruins against the Bearcats of Cincinnati. What about this UCLA team staying out in the Pac-12? Because it's one of those teams you think about. Kelly obviously did an amazing job at Oregon. What about the progression of that UCLA program under Chip Kelly?
Yeah, it's progression that you're looking for this year. And I got to tell you, I think I was as optimistic as anybody when they first hired Kelly. And I knew last year was going to be a very tough year. He had to turn over a roster that was not left in good shape by Jim Mora. So you knew last year on the field was going to be a tough year. And they showed some progress as the year went on. I think what concerned me a little more is they didn't do very particularly well in recruiting come February. And you can say, well, Kelly is a guy who tends not to chase stars. He's a guy who wants people who fit his system and has a really keen eye toward that. He never recruited at a really high level at Oregon. He just had an eye for his guys. But I got to tell you, it made me a little more worried. When you're in the Los Angeles area, you think you would occasionally stumble upon a couple of 4- and 5-stars, and they didn't get a lot of those kids. I do think they'll be improved this year. I think it's a really fascinating game and a test because Cincinnati's a good team. They beat them last year on the road, and they won 11 games in the AAC. This will be a fascinating test, and I think, what you're looking for is progress. Can they go from 3 to 6 or 7 wins? I don't know if they'll go from 3 to 9 or 10. That's probably expecting too much. But can they go to a bowl game this year, and can it look like it's better than last year?
Hey, Ralph, let's talk a little bit about Arizona State. The Sun Devils, their head coach is going into second year, Herm Edwards, all his years in the NFL and as a broadcaster and as a player back in the day. I think they went 7-6 last year. What do you think it is out there at Arizona State with the Sun Devils? Overall, do you feel that happy with Coach Edwards?
It's weird. It was obviously a hire that drew a lot of really? That's the guy? And I think that there was people again like me who were a little skeptical. Like, why would you bring him in? They got off to a nice start, but ultimately, you're right, 7-6. Pretty good year, but not really that much different than they've had in the past. And the reason why they brought him in is they think that that program has a much higher ceiling. So this year they'll go in, they're going to start a freshman quarterback. They've got one of the best running backs in the Pac-12, really in the country, in Eno Benjamin.
Yep.
And Herm wants to play sort of an NFL style. There's a lot of room for growth in the Pac-12 South. Other than Utah, everybody is in flux in some way, shape, or form. USC is kind of a mess, and their coach is on the hot seat. So they've got some young players they threw into the fire on defense last year, so they're expecting the defense to get better. They're relying, again, on a freshman or true freshman quarterback, but they're going to run the ball a lot. I sort of pegged Arizona State as a team where if you're looking for a dark horse in the Pac-12, especially on the South, that could be one. That could be a team that maybe sneaks up and has a, pushes for 10 wins and maybe, contends in that division, a division that everybody's sort of handing to Utah right now.
Over to the Big Ten, Ralph, and Michigan. Now, I've seen a lot of people, as we've inched closer and closer to the regular season, talk about the tremendous pressure that's on Jim Harbaugh. This has got to be the year they beat Ohio State. This has got to be the year that they contend and be a serious contender to be in one of those semifinals and a national championship. Do you think there is that much pressure on Jim Harbaugh in Ann Arbor?
Well, it depends on what you mean by pressure, because they're not firing him. Michigan football is healthier than it's been in about a decade and a half now. I mean, I think people sort of forget the Rich Rod, Brady Hoke years when things were not good at Michigan. I think there was one decent year in there. So at least now with Harbaugh, you have a level of respectability. They're winning they have double-digit win seasons. But the fact of the matter is, Harbaugh's a little like A-Rod, right? And New York sports fans will understand this. He is only judged by his failures, right? As great as he does in everything else, the only games that are big games are the ones he loses. The only games that matter most are the ones where he loses. And right now, he needs to beat Ohio State. So when you say, is there pressure? Well, there's always pressure because, this is an opportunity. Ohio State comes to Michigan this year. They have a new coach. They have a new quarterback. The Buckeyes do. So this is clearly an opportunity for Michigan to get that monkey off its back and finally beat Ohio State. But if they don't, are they going to fire Harbaugh? No, probably not. So I guess it depends on how you define pressure. They're a good team. They've got the opportunity. They'll be in the mix this year. But I don't see Harbaugh being on the hot seat, if that's what you're talking about.
Well, Ralph, speaking of the Buckeyes, the arch nemesis rival of the Wolverines, Ryan Day, as you mentioned, a new head coach there in Ryan Day, who segued into that in the offseason, seems like it's going well. And obviously Urban Meyer, he was under Urban Meyer, and seems like he still has a great line of communication and friendship with Meyer. What's your thoughts on how Ryan Day and his Buckeye program should do this year in the Big Ten?
Initial impressions of Day are great, but, he hasn't played a game yet. He is a smart guy who would have eventually been a head coach somewhere. He's from the sort of the Meyer Chip Kelly tree. At some point, he was going to be a head coach. It just happened a little faster and had a bigger program than I think some people thought. He is a very different dude than Meyer. In fact, I just wrote about him earlier this week. He's got definitely a different kind of vibe, a little more, you hate to say laid back for a football coach because these guys are so much more intense, but he's definitely got a little bit more of a regular guy feel. It's been going great on the recruiting trail. Ohio State is doing as well as ever. So that's a good sign, but we'll see how it works when the regular season, and really ultimately this season probably for Ohio State will be decided by two things. He brought in a new defensive staff, so can they fix the defense? My guess is that will happen. The defense will get better this year. The other thing and the main thing is they have a new quarterback in Justin Fields, who's a transfer from Georgia, who was sort of 1A to Trevor Lawrence's 1 in last year's recruiting class. Like, he is that level of a prospect. We talk about how great Trevor Lawrence is. Justin Fields was considered a generational type talent. He didn't win the job at Georgia. Now he's at Ohio State. If Ryan Day can tap into that talent and make Justin Fields a generational type player, and we see the best of Justin Fields, it's going to be hard for Harbaugh or anybody else in the Big Ten to stop Ohio State, and they could end up back in the playoff for the first time in a few years.
Ralph, over to Texas, Mack Brown, who's now coaching and back in North Carolina, as they get set to open up the season at home against South Carolina as a double-digit underdog, he talked about the fact of you know, he's back to enjoying being a coach in college football. He didn't enjoy his final few years when he was coaching the Texas Longhorns with all the expectations year in and year out. You know, Tom Herman knows that all too well. What about the Longhorns this season?
It's a tricky situation for Herman. He has said this, and I think he's trying to manage expectations. I think they did overachieve a little bit last year. I think that they had a great win against Georgia, great win against Oklahoma. I don't know if that team was fully in bloom. He's got a team this year that is really rather young for a team coming in as a top 10 team. They've recruited really well the last couple of years, so they're going to rely a lot on sophomores and even freshmen, redshirt freshmen, to fill big roles, to be productive in big ways. And that can always be, that's what can be a little risky. So I think what you could see out of Texas this year is a team that doesn't necessarily have a better record, ends up in that 9-win area, but maybe is a better team. I think that they had as much as they had some great wins last year, they also had some fortunate wins. I'm just interested to see, because you would expect a team like Texas to, now they take another step forward, and now they're a playoff contender this year. And I feel like this is a little bit of an in-between year, where maybe next year is the real big breakout, and this year is more of a year where they maintain. But you've got Sam Ellinger at quarterback and Colin Johnson at wide receiver. I mean, they have a chance to be far more explosive if they can get a little bit more of a running game going. But again, to me, I just wonder if they're a little overrated going into the season because they're relying on so many underclassmen.
Our guest is Ralph Russo, AP college football writer. Hey, Ralph, so Oklahoma, Jalen Hurts, new quarterback, transferred over from Alabama. Expectations in your view for Jalen and the Sooners this year?
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see how Lincoln Riley gets the most out of Hurts' skill set. Listen, I don't think he is going to be the passer that Baker Mayfield was, though. All the report, and we saw a little glimpse of it, right, in the SEC championship game last year. He came off the bench, and he had a nice game and saved Alabama's season to a certain degree. There seemed to be an improvement in his passing, but I guess we really won't know about that until we see it this year. But the thing is, how does Riley use that? The fact that that's the best runner he's ever had, as great as Kyler Murray was, as a smaller guy with great speed. Jalen Hurts is a bull. He runs like a fullback or a running back. Plus, he's got a pretty good arm. So I don't know if you'll get quite the same precision out of the passing game, but they have so many weapons around him. They are rebuilding an offensive line, but it's one of the better offensive line coaches in the country. They tend to do that okay. I think that you'll get a ton of production out of Hurts. It might just not look the same as you got the production out of Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. I don't expect a huge fall off out of Oklahoma this year, but they perform so well offensively without much defense. You do wonder if even the slightest step back on the offensive side means all of a sudden Oklahoma, instead of losing one game, maybe loses two or three.
Ralph, end of the year, close it out season, close it out here. You know, when you look at it, you know, who do you have, win a national? Is it going to come down to Alabama, Clemson again? Do you have any surprise teams in terms of making the semifinals?
Yeah, I wish I could be a little more creative when it comes to this, but I think if you go away from Alabama, Clemson, you're kind of trying too hard. I think eventually it'll be that in the national championship game, and we'll have Alabama, Clemson 5. As far as the rest of the final four, I guess the one team that's a little bit of a surprise that I picked, I have Ohio State in there. They're not a surprise. I think that they're one of the favorites, or at least one of the groups that you would expect to be in. I think the Pac-12 might break through this year. I think the Alabama-Georgia thing will sort itself out during the SEC season, and Alabama will eliminate Georgia again in the SEC championship game. And I think Washington, not Oregon, I think Washington has a chance to emerge from the Pac-12, separate itself from the rest of the pack there, maybe go 12-1 and sneak in the playoff. Again, it may be a little bit of a stretch, but I also think that it's good to sort of pick somebody who's a little outside that top four or five. So my one sort of stretch pick, my one slight surprise, is I'll throw Washington in there representing the Pac-12.
Ralph Russo, AP. Hey, Ralph, have a good Labor Day weekend. We appreciate the time this morning. Enjoy all the action. All
thanks,
right?
Thanks, Ralph.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Does a great job.
Yeah, he does.
He gives you a good feel in terms of and gave you a great setup, not just for the opening weekend, for the season of college football.
So, yeah, and as we get into, there's a ton of games coming at us, college football games, right? You know, starting today.
Yeah, starting tonight. I mean, double-digit games. We'll all be locked in. It's Taz, it's Moose, it's a Thursday morning. We'll come back. The three headlines you need to know. Undercard, we'll give you a fantasy football update as well. On this Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Well, Moose, as you know, support for Taz and the Moose comes from Manscaped, number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Now, I've had many friends of mine that just love that I'm doing business here, talking Manscaped. They use Manscaped all the time. I mean, really love it. You know, we love sitting around talking about it anyway. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has a proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer will not nick or snag, which is never good. Manscaped accidents are finally a thing of the past, and don't use the same trimmer on your face you're using down there. That's just straight-up nasty. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver. That's right, I said Crop Preserver. An anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. That's pleasant. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why not put deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Here's the best part. Savage. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code TAZ at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code TAZ at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code TAZ.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio, toll-free live, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. This Sunday, the stakes are high, starting with the finals of the 2019 Tai Chi Palace World's Strongest Man, presented by Rogue, followed by Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing. Then it's off to Los Angeles, where one team puts their stamp on the season and raises the trophy at the Big Three Basketball Championship, only on CBS.
So our fantasy, the Taz and Moose Fantasy Football League, I edited my name because I changed my name from last year, so I just did that. Thank you, Moose, because I didn't remember how to even log into the gimmick. So you took care of me on that, my man.
Which is surprising.
Yeah, I know. I have a lot going on. I'm very busy. So,
but you're very good on the computer.
I'm tremendous. I'm tremendous at this stuff. But this one, I was really like a knucklehead. I didn't know what I was doing. It was scary.
Now,
anyway.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted.
No, it's all right. So we have an update that, so these two other people, Frankie Heller, and the other guy, Zook, they have not logged in yet.
No, they have not.
Deadline, by 3 p.m. Eastern today, if they don't log in, they're out. It's that simple. Okay. And Andrew, I know those guys are your friends. I don't care. You can tell them. They're out.
I'm not going to tell them. I want them to be out.
That's right. And I like both those guys.
Mike, just get on the horn.
Just sent them a text. So, you know, they're adults. They'll get it done.
All right. No problem. I'm just, we got to put the hammer down, Moose. We can't be nice. Last year we were too nice with everybody.
No.
Way too nice.
Now, a caller called in and raised a very good point.
What's
right, a gentleman from Louisville who said, told Mike, he does not have Twitter.
Ooh.
But he would like to join the league.
Those are the rules!
How do we close that little snag here? And, Taz, I call upon you. How do we now get people who, if they want to join the league but are not social media, are not active on social media, how do they get involved?
You're out. Is that so? Okay.
Emphatic no.
No.
We smack you with that loophole.
It's going to be difficult. First of all,
get on Twitter.
Anonymous
it's
man from Louisville. It is 2019, and I understand some people don't have time for social media, and that's respectable and understandable. But it is free. This is the gentleman
here. Joseph.
Listen on SiriusXM Channel 206. Joe, how you doing? You're on with Taz and Moose. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, man? How y'all doing this morning?
What's up, Joseph?
All good, bro. So look it, man. You don't have Twitter, but you want to be on a deal. You want to be in a fantasy football thing, right?
Absolutely. Look, man, my daily routine, I listen to you guys every day. I get up at like midnight. I drive across the nation. I deliver, you know, food to people and deal with traffic and all kinds of stress.
Right.
And I have an old lady at home, and we have two children.
I'm assuming that's your wife. That's your old lady, right? Your wife?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Got it. So make sure.
That's a nice 1970s term.
We decided a long time ago not to do, you know, the Facebook and all that stuff because it wasn't good for our relationship. People were constantly getting in, and, you know, it was just causing confliction between the two of us. So
I commend you for that. That's a good job by you.
You know, for my family, I work a lot.
Right.
And I will take Sundays off if you guys will let me on your team.
Wait a minute.
Just for fantasy football.
Wow. We don't want you to affect the income for your family.
I don't want to affect the income, but that is a bold declaration. I mean, he's willing
I got to ask my wife first, though, just know that.
Okay.
Well,
happy life.
Yeah, no, exactly. But Joe, but the thing is with Twitter, just so you know.
My wife won't let me take a day off.
Well, that's well documented.
Or even part of one.
Right.
Well, exactly. Here's the thing.
You've got 2 hours here. What are you doing to earn money?
Well, guys, I'm trying to help Joe.
I'm sorry.
So, no, I'm kidding.
I apologize. I just wanted to talk about myself for 5 seconds.
It's okay.
I apologize, Taz. Back to you.
Right, so, anyway, it's back to Joseph. So, Joe, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You can go on Twitter, okay, and no one will even know you're on Twitter. Like Moose. He kind of does that. So, that's pretty good.
Wow.
So, where's Ed McMahon?
It's all good. So, Joe, look, you can, all kidding aside, you can go. You don't have to do this, but I'm saying you could start a Twitter account. Of course, you no money. You just use an email address, and you don't have to follow anyone except our show. You have to follow our show at Taz and Moose, and then you could then partake and get involved and put your. Well, I guess your pitch is happening now. Your pitch to Beyond just happened.
All right.
Well, that was the point being is
submitted.
That can you call in and make a pitch to be part of the fantasy football?
I think you just did.
Yeah, I've been calling every single day.
Well, no, but I asked you that, and you said no. You have to do it on social media. And meanwhile, can Joseph be a trendsetter here on Taz and the Moose and be the first one to call in and make pitches?
But we got to get something out of it, Moose. The guy's got to follow us on Twitter.
Well, he said he's going to take a day off. He's driving truck.
All right.
Across the country.
I work on my birthday. I work on Christmas. I work on New Year's. Nonstop.
Listen, I drive in New York City every day, buddy. We all do. We all drive in New York City every day. It's hell. It's hell.
Yeah, I hate the GW, man.
You know. So, see, you know the deal.
Yeah.
So, we're going to take it.
The GW. There are no truer words.
That's the truth. You could throw in a Kosciuszko. You could throw in a Midtown Tunnel, but I digress. So, it's under advisement by Moose and I and our team here. And we're going to see, Joe. We're going to see. But you don't have to join Twitter. That's what we're getting here. Joe doesn't have to.
I'm going to talk to my wife. She's got to take the kids to school, okay?
All right. Yeah, sure.
When she gets them to school, I will log on. I'm pretty sure she'll say yes because she knows I don't do fantasy anymore. I don't do anything, man. I pay attention to my
family
and work.
You're just working. I got you.
But think about that.
Play the horses.
He'll take time out of his busy schedule, driving truck and his family,
right,
to focus in on Taz and the Moose fantasy football.
Oh, he's a smart man.
Absolutely.
That's to be commended.
I am a smart man. That's right.
That's right.
That is to be commended.
We appreciate
nice
it,
job,
Joe. We appreciate it, Joe. Thank you.
Mike, take down his number.
Yeah,
I've got it.
Log everything. Have our team log it with you, Mike. You know what I mean? And everyone that works
Mike
with you.
Mike can't do it by himself.
All right. So we have Andrew Bogus just walked in, apparently.
So, what's up? So Joseph is a trendsetter.
Well, he is kind of, because he asked if he could call in, give his pitch on the phone, and he did. So it's like he forced us into setting a trend.
Yeah, that's a nice job by him.
Well, no, it's a bad job by us by caving. We showed no backbone, Moose.
That's fair, but I like it.
Yeah.
I think Joe's right there.
You think? I mean, do you really believe the man's going to take off a day from work? Don't you feel guilty? He's going to miss a payday to play fantasy football for our show?
He doesn't need to do that. He just needs to set the lineup. He doesn't need to take a day off. I don't want him.
And that's happening Wednesday, the lineup, right? I mean,
right.
Draft, Wednesday.
Well, the draft is Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday.
It's not Wednesday. It's Tuesday.
Does it have to be Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay.
You got a conflict too, huh, Andrew?
I have another draft actually Tuesday. Back to back Jones.
It's going to happen.
That's the S that I hate.
Another Bilotti draft tonight.
Listen to me.
That's right. I keep forgetting about that too.
Excuse me?
There's another fantasy league draft tonight.
Wait a minute.
The newsroom.
It's what's happening.
Okay, wait a minute.
So that's wrong.
That's probably a problem. Okay, wait. So hold on a second. Wait a minute. I just want to understand this. There's another draft tonight.
Yeah.
Which I know I'm not a part of because this is new news to me.
Yeah, I mean, you could have been in the league and not known about the draft.
Whose
until
league
now, anyway.
Is this now?
This is the official CBS Sports Radio Newsroom League.
Yeah, they stuck it to me last year, too, and I wasn't in it. Who runs that?
Bilotti.
Pete runs the world.
Pete Bilotti does everything.
It's all a scam with Pete. Why are you
both sides?
It's all a scam.
It's like a Ponzi fantasy football scheme. He somehow wins
like
every
queso.
Year.
Right.
I don't know how.
It's unbelievable.
He steals lunch. He steals fantasy
Why
football money.
Why wouldn't this SOB invite me to this thing?
He makes the schedules around
the drop off. It started before you were working here.
I've been here 2 years, dude.
It started when CBS Sports Radio first launched.
Who cares? There's people that left the company, and I'm still here grinding.
They stayed in the league.
Wait,
they're grandfathered
the
people, in.
Right, the people stayed in the league.
You don't want me in, Moose. I can tell.
What? You could join the league.
No, I have to be
invited.
It
doesn't matter what Moose wants.
I don't know.
Pete doesn't want
you
in the league.
Last year, I won the league 2 years ago. Last year, I wanted to drop out. And Pete goes, you're the defending champ. Why do you want to drop out? I said, all right. You guilted me into staying. You could have taken my team last year.
Oh, you're the best, Moose. All right, great. You're the best, and I'm out. I'm on the outside looking in. I'm like the little kid that's right now looking in the glass, looking like this.
Realistically here, you were never in.
I know.
Not in this league.
Thanks. Thanks for pointing that out. Bogus studio. Okay.
Hey, guys, my report would have been sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Max Scherzer made his second start off the injured list last night. 4 1/3, 2 runs, 6 hits in what became an 8-4 win for his Nationals over the Orioles. Scherzer... apparently, I'm done. I don't know what's going on.
Good job.
Thanks.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
All right.
Wait, you're done?
I don't know. Everyone's talking in my ear. I don't know what's going on anymore.
Andrew, we'll see you tomorrow.
I can't talk
Thank
to anybody.
You.
Bye.
Have a good day.
All right. See
good
you.
Job, Andrew, with everything.
It's Taz. It's Moose. It's CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. Here on this Thursday morning. Are you into movie trailers at all?
Absolutely.
No.
Not really.
You're not?
No. I don't care about it. I care about sports and wrestling.
No, there's two
Training.
Movies.
What's
there's
up,
two
Tom?
Trailers that came out. So they're doing an adaptation of The Joker. Joaquin Phoenix is playing The Joker.
Right.
Right, and a new trailer came out for it yesterday. I think it's coming out in the fall. I don't know when the opening date is, but check that if you're into movies and whatever and trailers. Great trailer. The other one is The Irishman, Martin Scorsese movie coming out. I think in select theaters November 1st, late November on Netflix. The Irishman is about Frank Sheeran, Jimmy Hoffa. It's a mob movie. Scorsese. It's got De Niro, Pacino. And Joe Pesci is in it.
That sounds good.
That trailer came out. A new one came out yesterday as well. The Irishman, which looks absolutely fantastic.
So I got to find the trailer. Where do I find these trailers?
I would just type in The Irishman trailer.
On the internets?
On the internet.
All right.
Google it.
Google. GTS it.
When does the Joker come out?
October 4th.
October 4th.
Top heel in the territory, as we say in the wrestling business. Bad guy. Right?
Yes,
Joker's
back. Correct. Yeah. And The Irishman is one of classic.
That's some heavy actors in that mobster movie. There.
Yeah, yeah. They were filming it at the time about a year ago in the tri-state area. They're filming a lot of it in Westchester.
Really?
Yeah. That which is for those that are unaware, Westchester is a suburb of New York City, just north of New York City.
Yeah, in between Westchester's in between New York City, like near the Bronx, and
Correct.
Then Connecticut,
Correct.
The state of Connecticut.
Right in between, yeah.
Greenwich is first, or Greenwich is first.
Greenwich is before Darien.
Okay, that's, yeah. I always get confused.
Correct, yeah.
I've driven through
oh, no,
a zillion
yeah.
times.
Well, that's McMahon country.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That is McMahon
that
country.
That is. I drove past the WWE building the other day.
In Stanford,
yes. That's exactly right.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, yeah, but check those out. Fantastic. Yeah. They look like they're going to be great movies in the fall.
Speaking of great, I'm looking again at our fantasy football lineup. I notice I have a, this is pretty, I don't want to brag, I have a bronze level. My account is bronze level, Moose.
I don't, okay, what does that mean?
Bronze from last year.
Nice.
My performance, I guess, was so... But then I'm looking...
I think I got a toilet bowl for mine. I think I finished last.
No, but here's the issue with this. Like, I'm a bronze, but it's not as high in the food chain as I thought. You were joking earlier about everyone gets a trophy and all that stuff. And meanwhile, there's like platinum, there's diamond, there's gold, there's silver, and then there's bronze.
Oh.
So I'm kind of like, they just gave me like
They gave you something. It was like a participation medal.
I think it is. See, Pete the Body's got the top cheese because he won. I know, it's so annoying. And then Connor Benji Heller, which is not...
Bob Feller.
Which is not... That's Andrew Bogish, Mike told me. So he's got to change his name, dude. Hello? Hey.
Hello.
I can tell him that, sure.
We'll work on that. The pressure, I mean, the amount of pressure that you put on now, it was supposed to be a fun league.
I know. My wife says that. I take the fun out of everything.
Suck the oxygen
says
out of the room.
She goes, everything is 100 miles. She's,
now it's like you're going to be judging names of teams.
Because I see
it's
the
supposed
count.
To be fun. We're supposed to have a good time with it, joke
you know
around.
But you're right. You know why? Because on the side it says live
league.
You
got Pete Gass down there in Jacksonville talking smack already.
Oh, he's already. Yeah, he's already.
I know.
It's a wrestler thing, I guess. We're just angry.
He's housing his bacon, egg, and cheese this morning.
It says live league draft in 5 days, 9 hours and 14 minutes. So that I see that countdown clock, and then
What was Pete Gass's final finishing move? The gas mask?
Yeah, it was some kind of a like a Russian leg sweep.
Sloppy Russian leg sweep. Okay.
He's going to be so pissed. Because I know he's listening.
Or was it the gasser?
No, I think it was the gas mask. Yeah, it's kind of like some kind of a sloppy takedown. He's going to be so pissed. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I'm doing that for my own amusement.
There you go.
Anyway, yeah. No, sloppy is not a term you want to ever use in your wrestling
right, you
move,
clean.
Move set. Yeah, it's just want to be crisp is the word.
Crisp and clean.
Yeah, not sloppy.
All right, here we go. The three. Oh.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Jerry Jones, update on Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, so basically he said he wants him for crunch time, down the stretch, playoff time, fresh as a daisy, Taz. He knows the importance, but he also said the Cowboys are not defined by any singular one player. The negotiations in public continue for Jerry Jones and the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. It's important to try to get this guy locked in. If you're Jones, I mean, he's got 2 years left on his deal. He's on his rookie deal. What'd you say? Zeke is making like $12 million a year.
$12.9 million over the next 2 years. He's owed.
Oh, jeez. So he's making a little bit more than $6 million
a year. Around 6.5 on average.
Wow, he is severely underpaid, dude. Yeah, wow, that's crazy. So he wants to get paid, Elliott. He wants to get paid, and he hasn't showed up for camp or nothing. He has been training, as we discussed. So he has been training off-site. Is Mexico? Is he somewhere in California?
Marshall Faulk's
been working out with him, right? A great running back, played for the Colts all those years. But where do you go, San Diego State, Marshall Faulk?
Correct.
Of course. Nailed that. Yeah, man, I don't know. I mean, I'm wondering how long this thing goes on, how long it lasts until... Does he come back? Does Zeke come back this year at some point? I would assume so, no?
I think he's going to come back at some point this year. I don't think he's going to be there week one against the Giants.
I don't think so either. Like John from Jersey, who called the show, regular caller of the show, made a good point. He said, listen, man, if the Cowboys are like 1-3, 4 weeks in, then there's a good chance. Attitudes could change. The money goes up, and then they'll bring him in. You know, Jones will get it done.
But there's another thing to the game. If they're 4-0 and Pollard's running the heck out of the football, all of a sudden, it might be Ezekiel. You come back in real quick.
Well, I'm saying if they're winning without him to the point that John was made, then it's Zeke who?
Correct.
Right? Like Jerry Jones said, joke around. Zeke who?
Yeah. And that hurts his leverage and where he stands in terms of negotiations. So nothing new there. And the two big running backs, and same thing with Melvin Gore down in Los Angeles with the Chargers. So two big running backs still have yet to join their teams as we're getting set to play the fourth and final preseason games. Cuts come your way on Saturday as teams whittle down from 90 to 53. And next week's going to be the start of the NFL regular season. All right, number two.
Number two.
Alabama linebacker Dylan Moses out indefinitely with knee injury.
Yeah, nice accent that Zach gave us there.
Like a southern, some kind of a southern accent.
Mix kind of a deal. Tennessee.
Right. Alabama linebacker.
Big loss.
Dylan Moses.
Big loss for Saban and the Crimson Tide. Now, they lose big players. They have another big player that's willing to step in. But inexperience at that inside position certainly is not what you want when you're heading into the start of the season if you're Alabama.
No doubt, man. I mean, two freshmen, you know, that I guess still bounce around, do whatever. Shane Lee is one of them. There's a sophomore there, too, that's pretty good. Benton, he's a good player. So, you know, and you know, it's Nick Saban, as you know, is a defensive guru. So, and he's got 4- and 5-star recruits every way he turns in his locker room, defensively and offensively, does Saban. So, I think they'll be okay. I really do. I mean, it's a shame for this kid. He's a hell of a player, Dylan
Great
Moses.
Player.
Really is. So hopefully it doesn't hurt him going forward down the road into the NFL. In today's day and age, you get a torn ACL. It does suck, but rehabbing and the way the surgery's done and the knowledge in rehabbing and the equipment and the way these kids recover because they're such elite athletes, he'll be fine, just not for this year.
You know? Yeah, not for this year. And for Alabama, you know, it's just the next man up mentality, Taz. And the thing is about their program is they're so heavily recruited that Saban's got backups on top of backups on top of backups. So
depth.
Yeah, correct.
Alabama linebacker.
Yeah, so it's not a case that they don't have talent behind him, but you don't want to lose special players, and certainly Dylan Moses was one of that, but out with a serious knee injury and that torn ACL. All right, next.
Number 3.
Defending champions Clemson kick off their season tonight.
They do against Georgia Tech in an ACC matchup, Taz, and they are 36.5 to 37-point favorites, depending on the sportsbook that you go to, so... You know, as we discussed with Ralph Russo from the Associated Press earlier this hour, you know, there's not going to be a lot in that ACC that's going to be challenging Clemson during the course of the regular season.
Right. No, I agree. They're home, too, Clemson. So they're playing down there in South Kakalaki. So, listen, I think that Tech's in trouble tonight. I'm excited to see that this young, awesome quarterback they have, this big kid, Trevor Lawrence. You know, I'm excited to watch him play. And like I mentioned in the question form to Ralph Russo, I'm intrigued to see how Clemson's defensive line is without all those excellent players they had that they lost, like Dexter Lawrence and these other, you know, they had so many good guys. But like you said about Alabama, they have kids in that depth chart and these programs that are plug and play. You know, so we'll see. I'm looking forward to watching Clemson tonight.
Yeah, so am I. I mean, and Taz, the expectations, you know, at the end of the year, that's going to be back to Clemson and Alabama. That's what we're going to see once again. I mean, with all of these colleges and all these opportunities to play, you know, it is amazing that those two programs have remained as remarkably consistent as they have been. It really is.
I completely agree.
I mean, there's no drop off.
No, there's no drop off. They keep the pressure on and they keep on. They don't get complacent. That's what it is, Moose. They just don't.
But to have guys, and you're right about the complacency, Taz. But it's also about getting the players to perform in big stages too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a credit to the staff. It's a credit to those players.
No doubt.
Understanding going, but usually you'll see a team, you know, or a program might have a 1- or 2-year blip or this or that.
We should have Notre Dame over years.
Yeah,
they dropped
the names
down.
Changed. Yeah.
Notre Dame dropped. They dropped
right.
over the years.
But even like we talk about Dylan Moses, that's a loss to that Alabama defense. Do I think Alabama's defense now is going to have a significant regression?
No.
With the loss of the player?
No,
I don't.
No, nobody does. No, you're right. I agree with you. I don't. I'm looking forward to watching Clemson and Georgia Tech. The other game I'd love to watch tonight, but it's just too late. I'd love to watch it. It's BYU and Utah. I love those West Coast, you know, gimmicks. I like the Pac. I do. I just like all that. But that's Friday night, Jones. Saturday night for me, I'll watch all the West Coast stuff. But can't watch that tonight. Got to count some orange sheep, my friend. Got to get ready for Taz and the Moose tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning, right, to wrap up the work week. College football, big launch tonight.
Big launch. We'll be all over it.
Yes.
Covering the games here.
That's exactly right.
Not every game.
And we're going to do picks, right?
I guess so. I don't, you know, I don't like doing picks, but we'll do them.
Last year you were good.
Yeah, I know. I
think you beat me last year.
Well, you're the measuring stick, Moose. You are the measuring stick. You know,
Taz, it's a mano-a-mano competition.
All right.
I mean, like,
Okay.
I'm not saying I'm the measuring stick. Anytime I give you credit or prime, put myself over, you have these glibs and knocks. You can't help yourself.
Listen, great job, Pete. Great job.
You really mean that.
See you tomorrow, everybody.
Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.